Words that go forth from my mouth, they do not return void unto me, but they go and accomplish what I purpose. I've designed my word to give you life and light. I've designed my word to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. My word will go forth into this earth and into your life, and it'll produce a harvest and a fruit unlike anything you could ever imagine. So take heed and hear and do my word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, thank you, Elliot and Nelson. We've just been ushered into God's presence. That's it. And then, you know, as far as giving, there was two thoughts that came to me. I want you to be aware of two things when you give. Number one, be led. Be led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, because when God prompts you to give, he's got a blessing in mind. And then the other thought about giving is to be generous and liberal. Amen? And because that's the nature of God. So you can do that anytime. And Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can bring our gifts to you, Lord, and just to honor you. And pray that you would multiply every gift and bless every giver abundantly according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to cover two more names tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about God is my peace and my righteousness. Hallelujah. I mean, need some peace. You know, I'm not talking about peace that comes from here. I'm talking about peace that supersedes everything in this realm. I mean, it passes our understanding. And if you want to go to the book of Judges, chapter 6, we're going to begin there. Hallelujah, God is good. See, the more you know about God as revealed by his names, you know, you can become more acquainted with who he is and what he does. Because his names reflect his nature, his character. And, you know, God chose to reveal different names about him at different times, to different people in different places. And, you know, the thing about God is the knowledge of God is progressive, isn't it? And there's probably even names that we haven't even tapped into yet. You know, I like in Revelation, when it speaks to the overcomers, it says God's going to give you a new name that no one knows but you and him. Hallelujah. So, you know, because God likes to do new things, he's a creator. And, aren't you glad that we can, you know, you can have a conversation with the creator of the universe. And you can go to him anytime, anywhere, any place. He has an open door policy. Well, here in Judges 6, we're going to get into this story here. And we'll start with verse 1. And we'll get to the end here where the Lord reveals a name. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So, you know, when we do evil, it opens ourselves up to danger. Amen? And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. So because of the Midianites, the Israelites had to go into hiding in rocks and caves. How many know God did not meant for you to live in rocks and caves? Okay? That's not God's plan or will for our life. And so it was, verse 3, when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. You know, it can cause a lot of turmoil that when you sow, nothing grows. See, here naturally, Israel was trying to sow, but because the Midianites had access to Israel, the minute Israel sowed, the Midianites would come in and devour and destroy the seed. So Israel couldn't produce anything. Israel didn't have anything. All right? And, you know, the devil is out to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, that's his agenda. But we have someone who's greater than the devil. And he said, but I have come that you may have life, how? More abundantly. You know, I like to tell people, if you don't like being born, be born again. You know, we ought to make that into a shirt. If you didn't like being born, be born again. It's a whole lot better to be born again. Amen? So, here we, you know, whenever they sowed, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and people from the east would come, verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till you come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. So not only did they take and devour the seed, they devoured all the livestock. There was nothing to sustain Israel. Say that they're in dire straits, aren't they? Things aren't going well. You know, this would cause a lot of stress, not only for a nation, but how about for an individual? When you're sowing and nothing's happening because what you're sowing is gone, and then you don't have any in reserve, anything to sustain you, and you don't know if trouble comes, you don't know what you're going to do. This is the position that Israel was in. Okay? So, verse 5, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Now, how did they have access to the land? Go into verse 1 says, what did Israel do? They did evil in God's sight. Okay? And as a result, an enemy had access to their land to come in and destroy. So, verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished. Underline that phrase, greatly impoverished. Now, he could have said they were just in bad shape, but he used the word greatly impoverished. Okay? And the enemy is, he's stealing, he's killing, and he's destroying. He's doing his thing. How are we going to change the situation? You know, God, what are you going to do to get rid of this problem? And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord because of the Midianites. You know, it's why is it that we don't cry out to God until we're impoverished? Until we're in trouble, until we got some things happening, how come they didn't cry out to God when the Midianites first showed up? Why did they wait so long? I don't know. Don't have an answer for you there. I'm just pointing out some things. So they cried unto the Lord, okay? Their situation is about to change. How many know when you cry out to God, he's got answers. He's got solutions. He is the problem solver. Okay? Now notice, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. So God sent a prophet to proclaim his promise, his protection, and to identify the problem. All right? The promise was, I brought you out of Egypt. God promised to bring the people up out of Egypt. He did, right? He said, I delivered you from all those who oppress you. That's protection. But then he said, the problem is, you have not obeyed my voice. How important is it to obey God's voice? You listen, we need God's voice in every area. When you wake up tomorrow, you're going to need God's voice to lead, guide, and direct you. Because as the people of God, we're not led by open or closed doors. We're not led by circumstances. We're led by one thing. That's the Spirit of God. And he's not a thing. He's a person. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. You know, we've heard people pray, well, God, if you open this door, I'll go through it. Well, whether the door's open or not, that may not necessarily be the door that God wants you to go through. You can't be led by exterior circumstances. You've got to be led by God's voice. You have to have some voice recognition software in your heart. And you have to be able to hear God's voice. Hearing God's voice will make the difference. Okay? So he sent a prophet to them to tell them this. And thank God for the, thank God for the prophet. You know, we need the prophetic. We need the prophetic. You know, our faith is built on the apostles and the prophets. So God appears to Gideon. And he shows up and he says to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon is saying, who? Me? Who are you talking about? What are you saying? And, you know, Gideon asked this question. He said, if the Lord is with us, then where are the miracles that we've heard from Egypt when he delivered us out of the hand of Egypt? Where are the miracles? Listen, the miracles didn't leave, the people did. The people did evil in God's sight, and they weren't hearing his voice. Okay? You say, well, how does that have to do with peace? I'm getting there. And, you know, in this conversation, Gideon is having this conversation with the angel of the Lord, and Gideon is going to give an offering to God of a young goat and some unleavened bread. And he says, would you wait here for a minute? And Gideon goes and prepares an offering, and he brings it, and the angel of the Lord put forth his staff and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and there arose a fire out of the rock, and this is verse 21, and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Now this was actually the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared as the angel of the Lord. How do we know that? Because he received worship. If it was just an angel and not the Lord, if someone tried to worship the angel would say, no, don't worship me. So we know that this is the Lord because he received the worship that Gideon brought. Okay? And, you know, Gideon was scared because he saw the Lord face to face. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto you. Fear not, you shall not die. You know, when God speaks peace, it changes the entire situation. And the first thing that peace does, it eliminates fear. And it brings assurance. He said, peace be unto you. Fear not, you shall not die. Then verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is our peace. And unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizurites. So this word, Jehovah Shalom, it's the name of God that says God is our peace. And what that means is that word peace means well. It means happy. It means wealth, prosperity, rest, and safety. and it means to salute. So you got to know that when God's peace comes on a situation, prosperity is right around the corner. You can be in an impoverished situation. You can have a pile of debt that you don't know how you're going to handle. You don't know how you're going to take care of. And God will say, peace be unto you. And when God speaks peace, when he releases peace to your situation, that means your situation is about to change. Because when the peace of God comes in, it does a work in your heart and in your mind. It corrects your focus. It makes you look to the source, and it gets your eyes off the problem. All right? So, and he built an altar there, and he called the altar Jehovah Shalom. And this was the beginning of God working in Gideon to deliver the people from the Midianites. And God is, you know, whatever Midianite you face, God's peace can handle. Jehovah Shalom. When he comes on the scene, that is the key to opening up of the door to your prosperity. Okay? Because the very word itself means nothing missing, nothing broken. It's the peace of God. So how can we invoke peace? How can we activate this peace? How many want to activate the peace of God? You know, where we can know Jehovah Shalom on an intimate level. I want to become acquainted with God's peace. I want to know some things about God's peace so that when I need his peace, I can declare peace and he's going to show up. Okay? So how do we do that? In Judges chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, it's talking about some Danites. And verse 6 says, it's talking about how they inquired of God that we may know whether the journey on which we were to go will be prosperous. And the priest said to them, go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way. Did you know that peace comes from God's presence? And peace brings prosperity. And the first key of prospering is changing our minds. Okay? So peace comes with God's presence. Why? He is the Prince of what? When the Prince of Peace shows up, he brings peace with him. It's God's peace. It's heaven's peace. It's a peace that will blow your mind. All hell could be breaking loose, and you could be there covered in peace, and you'd be like, whoa. You know, all the trouble that it's not affecting you because you have peace. And the peace acts like a shield. 1 Samuel 1:17, Eli told Hannah, he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. Did you know peace comes through answered prayer? Say, God answers prayer. So when you call upon God, you've got to know he will answer you. Because our God has answers, and he wants to give you those answers. But Eli told Hannah, go in peace. God has granted your request. So peace comes from answered prayer. Okay? 1 Samuel 25:6. It says, he's talking about a person. He says, to him who lives in prosperity of peace. But David was coming to Nabal. And he said, peace be unto you, your house, and to all that you have. Did you know that peace comes with prosperity for you, your house, and over all you have? What would you pay for peace of mind? How much would you pay to have peace of mind over you, your house, and all that you have? God can give you peace of mind. Amen? Okay? 2 Kings 5, 17 through 19. It's the story of Naaman. And after he got healed, he wanted to get 2 loads of dirt and he wanted to build an altar to the Lord. And peace comes when you establish a relationship with the Lord. Just knowing the Lord, you have access to peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace. It's his nature to give you peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He's not, it's not he was, it's not he's going to be, he is. He is Jehovah. He is your peace. And his peace brings welfare. It brings safety. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 16 through 18. And obviously, I'm not reading all these, but I'm giving you the reference. Peace comes when God helps you. How many know that God is a helper? He's saying, I'm going to give you someone just like me, another helper, another comforter, an advocate. And he's going to come alongside of you, and he's going to help. Peace comes when you know that God helps you. God is on your side. That gives you peace. Okay? Matthew 10, verses 11 through 13. He told his disciples, he said, go into a town, and if there's someone worthy there, and they receive you, then give them your peace. Didn't he say that? So peace comes when you hear and receive God's words. You want to activate? Peace comes when you hear and receive. A lot of people hear, but there's a lot of people who aren't receiving what he said. Isn't that true? So peace comes when you hear and receive God's peace. And did you know that you and I are ministers of peace? Jesus told his disciples that when you go to a place and they receive you, he said, let your peace be there. You are ministers of peace. You have peace. You can dispense peace to others. Okay? Luke 8, verse 48. Peace comes when your faith is in operation. Peace comes by faith. Just like anything else that comes from God, right? If you want peace, it's going to take your faith. It's going to take you believing and acting on God's word. How do you react when you find yourself in trouble? What's your first response? That tells you whether or not we're in faith or not. Okay? What was the woman with the issue of blood? She dealt with this thing for 12 years. But when she heard of who? She heard of Jesus. Based on what she heard, she did something with what she heard. She said, I shall but touch his clothes, right? And I shall be made whole. So what did she have to do? She had to make her way through the crowd to touch his clothes. You know what he said? Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Peace made her whole. Because her faith tapped in to the peace. He was the Prince of Peace. She was touching peace. And when she touched peace, peace came to her. Also healing. That changed her poverty into prosperity right there. Because right there, she stopped paying her medical bills. In that one moment, when she came in contact with peace, she didn't have to pay her medical bills anymore, although she had paid them for 12 years. She lost all of her money. And apparently, this condition was hindering her from being productive. And then in one moment, one encounter with peace changed her entire life. Luke 24, 37 and 42. Jesus showed up to his disciples when they were in a room. Peace comes to you when the source of peace declares peace unto you. He showed up and said, peace be to you. Tonight, Jesus is showing up at your doorstep and he's saying, peace be to you. Peace, will you receive his peace? Peace be to you. Once he declares it, it's in the atmosphere to be grabbed. And it's in the atmosphere to be had. Once it's declared, it can be had. Hallelujah. Grab onto that. Romans 1:7. Did you know what? Peace comes with grace. It was an introduction that Paul used. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father. Peace comes with grace. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, the whole chapter. Peace comes when you follow God's ways. Peace comes when you do things his way. How many know God's got a way of doing things? Right? And his way are different than our ways. But when he shows us his way, we can do his way. Which way has better results, our way or his way? His way. When we do things his way, we get his results. When we do things our way, we get our results. And his ways aren't going to make sense because they're not sensual, they're supernatural. Okay? It's going to take faith to do things God's way. I mean, come on. A guy's chopping wood so that they could build a house for the school of the prophets, and the axe head falls off the axe handle. Now, the normal thing to do is to jump into the water and try to get the axe head, but no, not God's way. Elisha throws a stick into the water, and the axe head floats. Who'd have thought that an iron axe head would float? God, listen, God has way. God can make iron float. But that's doing God's things God's way. You know? I mean, Elijah could have defeated the prophets of Baal a whole lot different, but he built an altar and doused it with water three times. And the fire of God came from heaven, and it came down and licked up the altar. That's God's way. Sometimes God's way is walking on the water to get to the boat. Amen? Ephesians 6:23. Go with me there. Go to Ephesians 6:23. This is powerful. You got to see this. Ephesians 6:23. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. So what do I get out of that? Peace is the key to having love, faith, grace, and sincerity. Peace is the key. He said peace be. Didn't he say peace first in that? So peace is the key. When you have peace, there's going to be love, there's going to be faith, and there's going to be sincerity and grace. Colossians 1:2. Peace comes from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the introduction that he used. Peace comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? Then you know peace. And peace is there when you need it. Gideon needed peace because the nation was impoverished. And peace came in and restored a right relationship with God. And peace brought victory. 300 men defeated an innumerable amount. It's not the natural way of doing things, but it's God's way of doing things. How did that happen? Because he built an altar and named it peace. Gideon embraced the peace of God. He accepted it. He welcomed it. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every, always and in every way. Pull that up. 2 Thessalonians. Now the Lord of peace give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Listen, God is not limited on how he can get peace to you. Peace can just show up. Boom, there it is. You're in all this trouble. You're in over your head. You got all these circumstances, and there's peace. Why am I so calm with all this stuff happening? It's the peace of God. You wouldn't have been calm without the peace, but it's that peace that comes in. It's Jehovah Shalom. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know that Psalm 4:8 says you can lie down in peace and sleep? Anybody have trouble sleeping? Look at Psalm 4:8 and declare that over you. Say, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. Peace will help you sleep. You don't need to take a pill. You need to take some peace. Psalm 37:11, the meek inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Woo, you want to delight yourself in abundance of peace? You can have abundant peace. Listen, there's more than enough peace to go around. God will give you so much peace. Listen, you can't overdose on peace. Peace won't give you a headache. Peace won't make you sick. You can have all the peace that you can handle. And then some more. Because he is Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. Malachi 2:4-6. Did you know that God's covenant with you is one of life and peace? The covenant that God makes with you is life and peace. He'll walk with you in peace and equity. Luke 1:79. Did you know one of the things he does is he guides your feet into the way of peace? You got trouble over here, and the Lord says, come on over here. The water's fine. Why don't you come on in over here? He guides your feet to peace, to a safe place, a well place, a whole place. Here, everything's all in bits and pieces, but here, you're whole. Where's here? Here is where Jehovah Shalom is. It's the peace of God. You can take home a piece of the peace tonight. You don't have to wait. You can receive a rich deposit of peace in your life tonight. Luke 2:14, the angels declared, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They declared peace in the earth, and anybody that wants it can have it. You just got to believe God, amen? Romans 14:17-18, and the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The very kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Woo! Righteousness and peace, they work together. Romans 8:6. If you're spiritually minded, it produces life and peace. But you got to be spiritually minded. What does that mean? You got to think about spiritual things to be spiritually minded. All right, Galatians 5:22. Did you know that peace was a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Oh, I can see some beautiful peace fruit trees growing in your garden right now. They're growing up. And you can just go to that place. And whenever you need peace, you can just grab you a big hunk of peace. Sweet peace. Joyful peace. Like you're sitting on the inner tube on the lazy river in Hershey Park. Just peace. Okay. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah. Now, obviously, you can spend a whole lot of time on each of these. Jeremiah 23. And I'm going to even show you how these work together. Righteousness and peace work together. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and what? Let's just say that again. The king's going to what? They're going to reign and what? Let's say it one more time. The king's going to reign and what? We need to get very comfortable saying that word, because that's what God wants us to do. And our prosperity doesn't come through any natural means. It comes by God. All right? And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, verse 6. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness, or we could say Jehovah Sidkenu. Yeah, Jehovah's in the canoe. And he wants you to come in the canoe too. You can join Jehovah in the canoe. Jehovah Sidkenu, that's the Lord, my righteousness. His name means Jehovah is our right. It means our natural, moral, or legal right. It also means prosperity. It means to make right. It means to cleanse. It means to turn to righteousness. So he is our righteousness, and we know the Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So God's very much into righteousness and justice, okay? So how do we activate righteousness? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, we were made righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done, and we put our faith in what Jesus Christ has done, what he did on Calvary, the finished work of the cross. We put our faith in that, and we become righteous. That means you are no longer known as an old sinner. Now you're known as a new righteous person. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Every man in Christ, right? Okay? Romans 1:17. Righteousness is received by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, God has faith, and he's a faith God. He does things by faith, and he created righteousness, and righteousness comes from faith to faith. So we receive righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 1:17. Okay? Isaiah 42:6. It says, I, the Lord, call you in righteousness. Did you know that righteousness is a calling, and God will help you to be righteous? How does he help you? He works in your life. He takes you by the hand. He guides you into what is right. How many of us have a conscience? We all do. That wasn't a trick question. Okay. How many has your conscience ever talked to you? And when you're about to do something wrong, your conscience speaks up, doesn't it? It says, no touchy-touchy, right? Don't do that. And that is God working in us. Our conscience is really the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people, they keep ignoring that voice. They keep disregarding that voice, and it becomes harder and harder to hear that voice. And they end up getting hard-hearted, but God will help you be righteous. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34, the Bible says, awake to righteousness. Righteousness needs to be awakened. How do we get awakened to righteousness? We come to know Jesus Christ. The moment we know Jesus Christ, righteousness is woke up. Jesus Christ is the alarm clock to righteousness. When you come to know Jesus, your righteousness is awakened, made alive. Okay? Righteousness doesn't need coffee to wake up. It just needs Jesus. It doesn't need a cup of Java. It needs a cup of Jehovah. First John 2:29. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. Righteousness needs to be developed. How many know we need to develop in righteousness? How do we develop in righteousness? We grow in the knowledge of God, and we begin to put his principles into practice in our life. That's how we develop in righteousness. How does a developer take a piece of dirt and make it into a mini mall? They clear off the land, right? They dig for the sewers. They add the foundation. Then they build walls. Now they have a building. Then they got to fill it. But they're called a developer. They take something out of nothing and they make something into it. Isaiah 51 talks about people need to follow after righteousness. Righteousness needs to be sought and looked for. You got to seek righteousness. Matthew 5, 6. You got to hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. You got to hunger and thirst for what? For position. You got to hunger. No, you don't have to hunger and thirst for position. You got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. How about hunger and thirst after money? What do you got to hunger and thirst after? Righteousness. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, God will fill you with righteousness, and righteousness will prosper you and bless you and increase you. Study the kings of Israel or of Judah. They were the righteous kings, and see how many kings who were righteous were blessed. All right, I'm almost done. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, pursue righteousness. Righteousness needs to be your pursuit. What does it mean to be in pursuit of? I'm chasing after righteousness. If you chase hard enough, you'll catch up with it. Because who is our righteousness? Jesus. Jesus. When you wake up tomorrow, you need to seek righteousness. You need to seek Jesus. He is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:29-37, of him you are in Christ Jesus, because he became for us wisdom and righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. He's the poster child of righteousness. He's our banner of righteousness. Romans 5:17, did you know that righteousness is a gift? It's talking about those who receive the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift that God gave us. Not one of us in this room were qualified to be righteous. But while we were yet sinners, messed up, away from God, God loved us and he plucked us out of the pit. And he said, I'm going to make you righteous if you just trust in me and believe in me and accept me. Amen? Second Corinthians 5:21, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, we are God's righteousness. Say, I'm God's righteousness. Ephesians 4:24, the new man was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So, you're created in righteousness. In other words, righteousness now is our pattern for living. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be in right standing with God. It means to be able to approach God freely without a sin consciousness. You're not conscious. What does a sin consciousness produce? It produces guilt, shame, and condemnation. See, now when you come to God, you're free from that because Jesus Christ freed us from guilt, shame, and condemnation. He totally proved their case false in God's court. And the evidence that he presented was his blood. It was the decisive evidence to eliminate any residue of guilt, shame, and condemnation on your life. And we've been made free from all that junk. Say, I'm free from that junk. 1 Timothy 3:16, did you know that the scripture is profitable to instruct you in righteousness? What does it mean to be profitable? Huh? Anybody? What does it mean to be profitable? Means to do well, doesn't it? If you own a business and you're profitable, that means you pay all your bills and you got some left over. That's a good thing. Okay, two more. Titus 3:5, according to his mercy, he saved us. Righteousness comes through mercy. It's God's gift through mercy that he gave us. And then 1 Peter 2:24, live for righteousness. Righteousness now becomes the standard by which we live. Why do I treat my neighbor this way? Because I'm now living according to the standard of righteousness. Ask yourself, when people aren't looking, how do I behave? When people aren't looking, who is looking? God. God sees, God hears, God knows everything. So, don't think that you can, when people aren't paying attention, that you can live in a certain way, you know, that doesn't respect and honor God. You can't, because ultimately God sees it, and ultimately that hurts you. It's better to live for righteousness. Jesus, he lived a perfect life. And because he did, we can do it because he's given us the same tools that he did it with. The Holy Spirit and God's Word. So we have Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. And we have Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is your righteousness. And when you need peace, it's available to you. And you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the apple of God's eye. You are his son. You are his daughter. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And things may not necessarily work out like we think, but you know what? You got to be like Joseph. What the devil meant for evil, God brought good out of it. You may be facing evil, but you got to know God's going to bring good out of that. Amen? So you got to know Jehovah Shalom, and you got to know Jehovah Tsidkenu. Because righteousness and peace, and I have scriptures that show that they work together. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are superpower twins that you got to have in your family. Amen? Let's stand up. And let's just thank God for being Jehovah Shalom. We don't know all what the peace of God has kept us from. And thank God that we've been made righteous. Amen? So let's just begin to praise God. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, you are our peace. Lord, we thank you that you have given us peace that passes understanding, and your peace keeps our hearts and our minds on the anointing and your anointed one. And Father, we thank you that you are our righteousness, Lord. You've cleansed us. You've redeemed us. You've purchased us with your blood. You give us robes of righteousness. He covers you in righteousness. And because we're made righteous, you can come before the throne. You can approach God. You can have a conversation with him. You can pour out your heart to God. So we're going to bask in his peace and his righteousness tonight. When God's peace comes in, it stops the poverty. It breaks poverty's yoke on your life. It loosens Satan's grip. It prevents you from being hindered. When peace shows up, it's more than just a good, calm feeling. It's God Himself being there and carrying you if necessary. Oh, hallelujah. Let God sweep over your spirit tonight. Drink in His peace. Drink in His righteousness. Be confident of who you are in Christ Jesus. You are what the Bible says you are. You can do what the Bible says you can do. You can have what the Bible says you can have. It doesn't matter of anything else. We have faith in Jehovah Shalom.